Okay, final speaker of this slot, and the technical problem solved. We're going to have Zoe speak now. I know Zoe, gosh, going back years. We first met in Nashville in 2008 at a conference, but I was aware of her work from before that, because long before responsive design was a thing, there were a hand few of us in the world that were making our websites with percentages instead of pixels. And they called us crazy. Who's laughing now? And now she's just amazingly knowledgeable about all things Flexbox. So in 20 minutes, how much can she squeeze into our brain? Let's find out. Big welcome to Zoe Mickley-Gillenwater.
So let me tell you a little bit about me. I have a pretty long full name, so I abbreviate it to Zomiji on Twitter and elsewhere. I'm from the U.S. I live in Amsterdam now with my husband and my two kids. And I'm also a senior designer at Booking.com, and I do both design and HTML and CSS for them. One of the things that I think is fun about working there is seeing the creative photos and names that properties have chosen for themselves. For instance, there's Salty Cracks Backpackers and Surf Hostel, which I think is a fabulous name. Or How Would You Like to Stay in Wrong Place? And of course, you can stay in Hell or Heaven. And I think Hell actually looks nicer. And finally, there's Jesus. This is my favorite line from its property description. Thank you, Jesus. So these are just a few of over the 674,000 properties providing us with their own content for us to display. That content also has to be translated into 42 languages, as does all the other website content. And the prices that you see on the site are in one of 54 currencies. With this huge variation in content, I have to make sure that my designs can be incredibly flexible. So if I have to design a component that includes the name of a property, for instance, that name might be as short as two characters, or as long as this 109-character long thing. So, how big do I make this component so that it'll be flexible enough to hold this variable stuff in an elegant way? In responsive web design, the challenge is that you never know how much space is available outside the component. Here, the problem is kind of the opposite, not knowing how much stuff is available inside the component. But in both cases, the question is the same. How big do I make this thing so that everything will fit nicely? In responsive web design, you answer this question by picking a percentage, an M or REM value, or a viewport unit, based on what will work well for that item and the others on the page the majority of the time. And these are all good relative units of measurement, but they're not perfect. They are still a decision that you are making ahead of time, rather than a calculation made on the fly for an individual user's unique set of viewing conditions and the precise piece of content they're viewing at that moment. So they're always going to be an approximation, your best guess at what will work best for the majority, rather than, you know, the ideal for one particular thing. And of course, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against using these units of measurement. They are what I choose to use in my work whenever possible. But any unit of measurement is always going to be an approximation of the ideal. Flexbox is not the ideal either. It's a tool with strengths and limitations, just like any other. But it gets us closer to the ideal because with it, we no longer have to set explicit sizes. We can let the browser figure out what size is best based on the space available, the surrounding elements, and the content within. We still get to tell the browser a starting size, a starting point for the size or a proportion to give it some guidance. But we're not laying down a law as we are with explicit dimensions, even relative ones. Let me give you an example of the difference between these two approaches. So here's the job search form on the Guardian site. It's responsive. They give all the fields percentage widths, even the button in the select menu, and then they change those percentages at different breakpoints. This is the widest version. And they didn't use Flexbox on it, as they do now on their main site, that floating is still used here. So I decided to make a copy of it to see if I could improve it at all by adding Flexbox, just as an exercise for me, not because there's anything bad about how they're doing it currently. So here's my copy using floats and percentage widths as they do. This was my starting point. And then I tried to see if there was anywhere where I could add Flexbox to make this form more responsive. And I found two opportunities for simple progressive enhancement. The first issue is that because the select menu is set to a percentage, not its content length, the menu text can sometimes be cut off. Also, the button can grow far larger than its text, which looks rather awkward, in my opinion. Even if you like it large like that, which is totally fine, the point is that you can't control it. The viewport is controlling it, and sometimes it will be snug to its text, and sometimes not. The percentage becomes kind of arbitrary. This is the problem with explicit dimensions. Now, I could fix it. I could fix these issues by tweaking the breakpoints, right? Not changing the layout until I am sure that the select menu text can fit. But this is unreliable. You can't always create a whole new set of breakpoints to accommodate one piece of content on one page out of a whole site. Also, it's dependent on all users having the same font size and on the content never changing, neither of which I think are safe assumptions. This is the perfect case for Flexbox, though, because as I said, it lets you avoid explicit dimensions and use the Flex property instead to control sizing. So the Flex property tells the browser the starting size that you want to use, including the native content size, and whether the item can grow bigger or smaller than this size to fit the space available. So for the select menu and the button, I want them to stay at their content width exactly and not grow any bigger or smaller. And with the text fields, I want them to stretch to take up whatever space is left after the select, the button, and all the margins have been accounted for. I don't have to do any math to figure out what value that should be. I just tell them to flex and let the browser figure out the math. Computers are good at that stuff. And I can keep the percentage widths in place for non-supporting browsers and add Flexbox on top as an enhancement. The second problem with the original is that I have a slight misalignment of fields across the line, even though I set the same padding on all of them. I could fix this by adjusting all the paddings, but this is browser dependent and it's, you know, just a pain to try to get perfect. A more reliable and easier fix is to just turn on Flexbox for each field wrapper, because flex items across a row are equal height by default. So with its wrapper, a flex container, each field will stretch to match the height of the tallest one on its line. So these two lines of CSS in pink fix that height mismatch in 5 seconds. And actually, you could write it as one line. You could leave the second line off because that's the default. So although the visual effect isn't huge in this case, neither is the effort to kind of polish up this form. None of the Flexbox changes that I made to the form have to be hidden from older browsers. They simply override existing properties in browsers that understand them, which made it really easy to progressively enhance this form. So IE9 and earlier will see the top version, which looks a bit different but is still usable, and just about everyone else will see the bottom version. I think this enhancement is worthwhile to add because even though the Flexbox form does use the same breakpoints as the float original, the fields inside are more responsive to their content. So overall, the layout of the fields looks more proportional inside each of these breakpoints. Content-driven breakpoints are definitely better than device-size breakpoints. But again, they're a decision that you're making based on what is best for hopefully the majority of your content, but not necessarily every component or piece of content on every page. Flexbox can enhance your components to be more responsive within these breakpoints. The job form was just a demo, but we use Flexbox in a similar way live on booking.com on our customer service form, which uses a fluid responsive layout. Using Flex, the fields fill the full width of their container no matter its size, switching from stack to 2x2 automatically as soon as they can fit beside each other. And by automatically, I mean no media queries. This is all of the CSS that's needed to create those two layouts. And there's no media query because the browser figures out the breakpoint for you using Flexbox. So basically, when the viewport is narrow, the combination of the flex size and the pixel margin and padding make the inputs add up to more than 100%, so they have to wrap and stack. But the flex value also ensures that when this happens, they stretch to fill the width rather than staying 40% wide. And the flex property is simply an enhancement on top of the floating and 43% width that control the layout of the form when Flexbox is not available. So the starter version has the same two layouts. They just don't stretch to full width. But I think that this is small difference is an acceptable trade-off for being able to write just a few lines of CSS, no media queries, and being completely done with laying out an entire responsive form. Another place on booking.com where I change the layout without a media query is within the map info windows that show when you click on a map marker. I had the task to add a message about the room price that you see being almost sold out. The logical place to put it seemed to be next to the price, especially since there's often a big gap there. So this is what that would look like. I like how it kept the price and the message visually connected, and also kind of the message leads you to the CTA, the call to action button. But the problem is that there is not always a big gap there. Rack rate pricing, long languages, long currencies, all can take up a lot of space. In this case, this is due to variable content, but the same issue applies in responsive web design, of course, where the width that you have available to you to put something in varies as the viewport changes in size. So in both cases, I have the problem of wanting to put something in a spot, but not being sure if that spot is always big enough. What I would like to happen is for the text to sit beside the price if there's enough room, and when the space shrinks below some minimum width that I set, the text drops down onto the following line and takes the full width. This seems like it would be really simple to do with CSS that we have now, but only if I had an explicit width on that availability message, the red text. If I don't have a width on it, making it float or inline block will not let its text wrap. So the first image with the red text wrapping cannot happen. The text would all be on one line, and it would drop below the price. Table cell will let the text wrap within that area, but it will not let the entire block wrap down below the price if there is not enough space. So the second image with the red text below could not happen. So that leaves Flexbox, which is kind of like the best of both worlds. So you get the stretch and squish behavior of table cell, but it lets boxes wrap if I tell it to and if it needs to. And again, it does this without media queries. So IE 7, 8, and 9 will simply see the availability message always below the price, which again doesn't look bad or broken. And the few lines of Flexbox code are just layered on top as an enhancement for the vast majority of users. So Flexbox is great for this sort of micro layout stuff, managing the sizing and spacing of items within a component or module. You can use Flexbox in a similar way in responsive designs when you have a component that sometimes has room for its sub-items to sit side by side and sometimes needs them to stack, but you're not exactly sure at what breakpoint that might happen. Another example of how Flexbox can handle wrapping more elegantly is in what we call the mini info windows on our maps that show when you hover over a marker. And I use Flexbox to lay out the review score and the price on opposite sides of a line. Again, I couldn't give either of these two blocks a width, even in percentages or M's, because the length of the content inside can vary an incredible amount. So without set widths, inline block would not move the price block to the right side, so that was out. Table cell worked fine without set widths, but if the content was too long, the two pieces could overlap instead of the second block wrapping to a new line, which would be completely unacceptable. So that left floating and flexbox as my layout options. Floating worked, but when the content was long, the price wrapped to, and the, you know, the price had to wrap to a second line, it would stay right aligned, which looks kind of awkward, I think. So I decided to use both. Float for older browsers, and then I overwrote it with Flexbox, which lets the text wrap to the left side more elegantly. And I didn't have to use Modernizer and hide pieces of CSS from certain browsers. Again, Flexbox just takes over if the browser understands it. So no matter what, the blocks will appear side by side in all browsers, and they will wrap when needed. It's just that the wrapping and alignment of the text isn't quite as nice looking in non-Flexbox browsers. But again, that was going to happen whether or not I added Flexbox here. I made a demo to show you how this improved wrapping behavior could come in handy on responsive sites specifically. So this article header uses Flexbox to lay out and align its chunks of text, including having the category, the green box, all the way to the left, and the date on the right side. Using flex to push the date to the opposite side is a great enhancement for what happens when there's not enough room to fit both on the same line, such as when the viewport is very narrow, or the category is very long, or both. Again, there's lots of ways to align content on opposite sides of a line with old CSS, but if I used floating or text align to push the date to the right side, when the date needed to wrap, it would stay down on the right edge, just like in that Flexbox version, the non-Flexbox version of the mini info window. Again, looks kind of weird. But using Flex instead, it wraps to the left side, which I think looks a lot more natural. Now, the browsers that don't support Flexbox have about 7% global market share. So a few users will see the non-Flexbox versions that I've shown you, but none of those versions look wrong or broken, just a little different, which is already happening all the time anyway. Flexbox is simply an enhancement to make better use of the space, especially between your breakpoints. It's not a true grid system. It wasn't meant to be, so it's not the best choice for overall page layout, but it is a great choice for intelligently sizing and spacing components, aligning them, and making sure the smaller chunks of content within those major page sections are laid out in a nice way. Flexbox also lets you visually rearrange content, which comes in handy on responsive sites. When you're stuck with the same HTML order at all sizes, but you want to shuffle content around on different views. It's sometimes hard to make a block go where you want it to when you're tied to a certain source order. One of the challenges with responsive web design is that the order in which you need to place your major content blocks in the HTML to make them stack in the desired sequence on narrow mobile screens is not always the same as the HTML order that they need to be in to make floating work, for instance, on wider screens where you want to turn them into multiple columns. But Flexbox support is particularly excellent among mobile browsers, so you might consider using the Flexbox order property to rearrange content just on mobile devices. That way, you can keep the HTML in the order that's needed for the desktop layout, where you don't want to use Flexbox for the entire page layout, without worrying about users of old IE seeing an order that's different than the one you had planned. Let me give you a simple example of this sort of mobile-only reordering with Flexbox. On this recipe, the photo comes before the ingredients list in the HTML so that on the wider view, I can float it beside the ingredients. And so this narrow mobile version that you see simply stacks everything in the default HTML order. But I could use the Flexbox order property to move the photo from its HTML position above the ingredients to above the recipe title on mobile only. So then in my widescreen media query, I just turn Flexbox off, so there's no concern about Flexbox support on desktop since I'm not using it there. And any mobile browsers that don't support Flexbox will simply see the image back before the ingredients. You could use this same sort of trick on any sort of media block object where you have a photo and a chunk of associated text. You can order them logically in the HTML and then use Flexbox to move the photo around at different viewport sizes. Keep in mind that when you reorder content using Flexbox, you are only reordering it visually. It does not change the screen reading order or the tab order. Now, moving the recipe photo wouldn't cause accessibility problems because it didn't contain any tabbable content, there were no links in the piece that I moved, nor did it contain any text to be read by screen readers, because in this case I would give the photo null alt text since the recipe text itself provides the text alternative. If the content that you are reordering does contain text or tabbable content, you need to make sure that the HTML order is logical first and that the visual reordering you're doing is just decorative and doesn't change the meaning of the content. I already showed you the Guardian's job search form, which doesn't use Flexbox, but their main site now does, and they use Flexbox to shuffle stories around when you get to the wide view. The mobile view shows the unchanged HTML order with just normal block stacking. And when wide, you can see that they've reordered things a bit. So what was the highest content is not now the furthest left content, as you might expect. This is because Flexbox lets you run content not just top to bottom and left to right, but bottom to top and right to left. And I think, again, that this use of reordering is accessible because these stories can be read in any order and still make sense. The newspaper would like to present them to you in a certain order, visual order, to emphasize certain ones, which is where Flexbox comes in and helps them, but their visual order is not tied to their meaning. I do think the tab order here could potentially be confusing, though. So if you do use Flexbox reordering extensively, like The Guardian has done, please do test it with real users if at all possible. I haven't shown you the code for most of these examples, partly because I don't have time to do it justice, but mostly because I don't think the code is the most important part of learning Flexbox. I think the biggest obstacle to getting started with it is not being able to picture how to use it, because you're stuck thinking in terms of what was possible with floats and other old layout methods. It was kind of the same when we switched from tables to CSS and from fixed width to fluid layout. You had to make a mental shift to start thinking in terms of the new possibilities and approaches to old problems. Flexbox lets you do lots of things that you haven't been able to do before, and some things that you could do before but now can do in a much simpler way. So once you see what Flexbox can do in the real world, you can start picturing how to use it in your own work to solve real responsive web design problems today. It can be tricky to wrap your head around at first, but once you've learned it, it's an incredibly quick and cheap way for you to add more responsiveness to your components. It may sound weird to talk about enhancing responsiveness, but I don't think that responsive web design is on or off. Either your site is responsive or it's not. I think of it more as a continuum. So if you have a fluid layout, fluid content, and some media queries, your site includes responsiveness. But there's always more that you could do to make it even more responsive to different user settings and the content within it. And Flexbox is one of those things that you can do, as I hope you've seen with these examples. Don't be afraid to add Flexbox to your work, because Flexbox is not all or nothing. You don't need to use every part of it to control every bit of layout across your site. You can keep using floats or table display or whatever you use to create responsive layouts. Just add on Flexbox in one spot to add one little enhancement and see how it can improve responsiveness. Thanks very much.